This morning we are kind of wrapping up our summer series, and before we get too much into the sermon, I want to invite you to take a moment. I know most of our kids have started school. Some of us don't start until September, but I want to invite you to do something that introverts really don't like when the pastor says, and to turn to one another as we wrap up summer, just thinking through the last couple months. The last couple months, say, since Memorial Day weekend. Share one highlight about summer with the persons or people that are sitting next to you. One highlight that you have from the summer. Go. All righty. As we kind of wrap up the summer, we have been here on Sunday mornings journeying through the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, and there's this funny mix as they wander, where they kind of look back at where they have been, which is why I asked you to just kind of share that, where we've been just recently the last couple of months. They look forward to what's coming, and this morning we're kind of talking through what it means to be in that space in the middle, where we look back and we celebrate some of what we've just accomplished, or some of the places that we've just gone, or what we're celebrating, and we look forward to what is ahead. So we spent our time this summer in the Bible, this part of the Bible, for a couple of reasons, and mostly because, as odd as it might sound, to compare the 21st century to what was happening during Moses' day, most of us can relate. The whole reason we've been in this series is most of us can relate in one way or another to the feeling of being lost, to the feeling of not fitting in when we arrive in a new place, to not having a clear sense of direction, of knowing what tomorrow will bring. Most of us can relate to those sorts of sentiments. We're picking up our story today with the Israelites standing on the edge of the Promised Land, kind of right at the beginning of Deuteronomy, and it's almost a summary of what we've talked about throughout this summer. They had wandered, they had struggled, they had argued with God, they had argued with one another, and after all of the adversity that they faced in the wilderness, they arrived, or at least they came close to arriving, to seeing those cones at the end of the race. The book of Deuteronomy consists mostly of speeches that Moses gave as they were arriving, and conversations that he had with Joshua as he prepared to hand over leadership to him. And it paints a picture of Moses kind of standing as a bridge between what they had just done, or where they had been, their history, and where they were going, between the past and the future. So in our first reading this morning, in addition to giving Pastor Darrell a Hebrew language quiz, which you aced, it paints a picture of Moses on the eastern side of the Jordan with his people, overlooking the land that God had promised their ancestors. They weren't there by accident. It wasn't like they just kind of stumbled their way through the wilderness and ended up at this spot. And it wasn't just some sort of coincidence. It was evidence of God's faithfulness as they wandered. Then in the next few paragraphs of Deuteronomy, Moses explains that before they could continue on, he needed help leading the people. God instructed them to pick leaders from each tribe, and they were on their way. And picking up in Deuteronomy 1:19, we read this. At that time I said to you, then as the Lord our God commanded us, we set out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all the vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us. and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, "It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, you know our hearts and you know our minds. You know what's going on in our lives that we're celebrating. You know what's going on in our lives that we're mourning and grieving. You know the places where we feel lost and alone. Lord, we thank you for the story of the Israelite people and for the reminder of your faithfulness. Lord, give us ears to hear what you have for us this morning, and I ask that you would take my words and use them for your kingdom. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So one of the more influential pastors and authors in my life along my faith journey is a pastor named Eugene Peterson. I reference his translation to scripture quite a bit here. I've read most of his books at least once, and there is a story that he tells in many of his books that I actually got to hear him share about 10 years ago at the West Coast Presbyterian Pastors Conference. He and his wife planted a church in the basement of their house in Maryland. And after 2.5 years of meeting there, they got a property and they moved to the property and they launched this new campus. Their community spent all time of energy and effort dreaming and building, coming up with resources collectively, plans, and inviting neighbors to be a part of the church. There was a groundswell of momentum with people committing to pray, people committing to worship, and people committing to live out the gospel of loving God and loving their neighbor each and every day together as a community. So after 2.5 years in the sanctuary or in their basement, they built this new campus. They had their dedication service for the sanctuary. And then something odd happened. Pastor Eugene realized that Sunday morning attendance the next month after they launched this church began to drastically decline. People who gave and sacrificed to launch this church, they just stopped showing up. He started visiting them and saying, what's happening? What's happening? But before we think, when was this in history? It was 1962, the church started in 1964, they got their campus. And he went to all, and he started visiting, knocking on doors, saying, what was happening? Why aren't you showing up anymore? And he heard variations of the same response. The response was, we did it! We did it, didn't we? Who would have thought that people like us could have done this? Pull the congregation together and built a church like this. We sure have put our mark on the neighborhood, haven't we? I've never been a part of something this significant in my life. Thanks for getting me into it. So he went from house to house to house, and he heard the same thing. We did it. We've arrived. We sure put our mark on the neighborhood. I've never been a part of something like this anymore. We've arrived. I imagine the Israelites who made it to the promised land, whether it was those who just sat on the outskirts with Moses, or those who actually crossed over the river and entered with Joshua, I imagine they had a similar feeling. We did it. We've arrived. Look what we have done. After all that wandering, the lack of water, the manna, the quail, the attacks on the road, after everything that our parents and grandparents went through, we're here. Let's celebrate. But the truth is, arriving in the promised land or getting close enough to see the promised land wasn't the end of their journey. It wasn't the finish line for their community. It was just a milestone along the way. The same was true for Peterson's church, and the same is true for Westminster. If you look through our history, there has been different milestones, but the journey continues. It's also true in our personal lives. We should definitely celebrate reaching those significant milestones, but we also need to recognize that at least on this side of eternal life, one achievement will typically lead to a new set of obstacles and a new set of challenges. It isn't like, oh, I've finished, now everything's going to be easy. Everything is going to be simple. Once we achieve one milestone, we're often approached by new challenges. And we need to learn to wait on God in the midst of those. It's a lesson the Israelites were taught repeatedly in the wilderness, whether it was because they're impatient, because they lacked trust, or because they lost sight of their goal. Through it all, God remained faithful to them. It wasn't a lesson they had to learn over and over again because they were extra stubborn or because they weren't just that smart. They had to learn it over and over again because they are like you and like me. They're human. How many of you are human today? We too need to learn to wait on God. We too need to remember that God is faithful. We too need to remember that when we reach one goal, it doesn't mean our journey is finished. There's more ahead. So after wandering through the desert for days, over 100 miles from Horeb to the Kadesh Barnea, the Israelites arrive. They can see the finish line ahead. Now, most of us haven't experienced exactly what they were experiencing that day, but I imagine that the feeling, to a much lesser degree, is the feeling that I've had when I am returning home after a long international flight with multiple stops. Maybe you can relate. You get to that last layover, look up at the board to find your flight, you find your gate, and you think, I'm so close. Just one more. You board the plane. You close your eyes. You try to sleep, but you can't sleep because who can really sleep on a plane? You toss and you turn a bit and eventually hear the captain announce the destination is close. And the plane will begin its ascent. Right? Seat backs up. Tray tables up. It begins. You might open the window and begin to see familiar landscape and eventually familiar lights, familiar buildings. As exhausted as you might be in that moment from the traveling, from the time changes, you can almost feel the comfort as you're in your bed at home as you inch closer and closer and closer. As that goal comes into sight, you're grateful for the trip that you just had, but more than anything, you're grateful for your pillow. Can I get an amen? The Israelites could see the final obstacles in front of them. So they thought. The hill country with the Amorites, they could see that that was the final obstacle. In the second chapter of Deuteronomy, we read about the Israelites' request to pass through this land that was under the jurisdiction of the king of the Amorites. Moses writes a letter to King Sihon requesting safe travel and promising that as they travel, they'll just pass through. They're not going to touch anything. And King Sihon says, yeah, right. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. So instead of just passing through, there's a battle. And the Israelites conquer the Amorites. And after they inched closer and closer to the Jordan, they knew the Amorites would be an obstacle, but they kept moving forward, doing their best to follow God's plan for their lives. They could see the obstacle in front of them. Some of us here this morning are well aware of an obstacle or two in front of us. individually or collectively as a church. We can see them. But that doesn't necessarily mean we have a clear idea of what the solution is to overcome them. One of the lessons we learn from the Israelites wandering is to just keep moving forward. To just keep moving forward. Or, like one of my favorite fish friends, Dory from Finding Nemo, to just keep swimming. And if you haven't seen that movie, you should. Discerning where God is leading, even when we're not sure what the solution is to the obstacle that we see in front of us. As Moses instructs the Israelites in their final chapter in the wilderness, he says, go take possession of the land that God promised your ancestors. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And at this point in their journey, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, but they second-guess Moses. They'd gotten good at doing that. Instead of just moving forward, they say, yeah, there's a whole lot of us. We can't exactly walk through an area unnoticed and just kind of blend in with the neighborhood. Can't we send some scouts ahead to do a little bit of research for us? So then we'll know what we're getting into. Now, there's two ways to really interpret this part of the story. The first is the Israelites just wanted to do their due diligence, like most of us would. They wanted a carefully crafted plan backed by data and research. The second is that they were looking for an excuse. Go up ahead and find a reason for us not to continue. Both interpretations serve as a warning against paralysis by analysis. Whether we're talking about next steps with something in our individual lives, making a decision at work, with something here at church, we could collect and look at data all day long. We have collected and looked at data all day long. But at some point, we need to heed the instructions of Moses. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You were created for this. You were called for this. It's time to move forward. Now, we don't get the idea that Moses is against the concept of sending spies ahead. So he picks one out from each of the 12 tribes, sends them out exploring. One of the commentaries I read pointed out that Moses doesn't send the spies out to see whether or not they should move forward. That's not why he sends them out. He had already decided they're moving forward either way. The 12 were sent to help them craft an idea of how they were going to proceed. They were sent to help map out a strategy for the way forward. Now, I think there's an important leadership lesson for us here. Moses set the direction for where they were going. He had the vision. And then he invited respected leaders to help craft the strategy to get them there. But Moses set the vision and the direction. The 13th chapter of the book of Numbers gives more detail about what the scouts or the spies discover. It's a land of milk and honey, an incredible fruit. But the people were strong, and the cities, they are developed. The Hittites are there, the Jebusites are there, the Amorites are there. They're in the mountains. The Canaanites, they live down by the sea. And then there's those Amalekites down in the south. The spies, they list a litany of obstacles. And Numbers tells us that most of them even suggest, 10 of the 12 spies suggest that they don't move forward. But Moses had already set the vision. He had already spent plenty of time arguing with God about all kinds of things, if we remember Moses' life. From questioning his ability to lead, to complaining about the people God called him to lead, entering the promised land wasn't up for debate. And still, even though it wasn't up for debate, still 10 of the 12 spies say, uh-uh, we're not moving forward. The 10 saw all the barriers, all the giants in front of them, and they wanted to give up. There was only two. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, who saw the same obstacles and somehow still encouraged Moses to proceed. It's a reminder that we see obstacles from, that we together see obstacles, maybe the same obstacles, but we see them from different angles. We see them from different vantage points. And the encouragement, or maybe the challenge, is to remember that God is moving in the midst of them and that we should listen to those other vantage points and to those other angles. Now, do we wait on God, remembering there is a plan as we face life's inevitable challenges? Or do we allow the obstacles to keep us from moving forward together? Now, we know the Israelites eventually fulfill the vision, right? They eventually do get into the promised land without the leader who led them to the edge of it, though. One of my favorite images in the entire Bible comes from the last four chapters of Deuteronomy. It's the picture we see as Moses passes the baton onto Joshua. The vision doesn't end with Moses. But then again, did it start with Moses? Did the vision start with Moses? No. No, it didn't. Over and over again, as the Israelites wandered, God reminds them, God reminds Moses that he is the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just because the Israelites eventually arrive in the land, it doesn't mean that their journey is complete. Far from it, actually. And it doesn't mean that they're done with obstacles, that there aren't going to be any more challenges. There were, after they arrived in the promised land, there's ongoing attacks from the outside. There's more division from within the inside. There's confusion about leadership. There's more idolatry, more division. The obstacles may end up looking different in the promised land than they did in the wilderness, but they're still there. And the challenge for them, quite frankly, friends, is the same challenge that we have today. We're called to wait on God, no matter the obstacle, no matter the challenge. Trusting that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses and the God of Joshua, and the God of everyone else who's written about in the Bible, is still at work today, is the same God today. Now, in some ways, the image of the Israelites on the cusp of the promised land is a foreshadowing of the image of Jesus standing with his followers, preparing to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. As they stand on the Mount of Olives, getting ready to parade down into the Kidron Valley below them, they look up at the city walls of Jerusalem. The king had arrived. In their mind, the Jesus' followers, the king had arrived. The king was ready to take the throne. The promise fulfilled. Redemption had begun. Except, as we now know, Jesus' plan didn't necessarily match the strategy that his followers had in mind. It didn't look the way that they thought it was going to look. The disciples couldn't have known the obstacles that were coming later that week after Palm Sunday, or months and years later as they continued Jesus' work and launched the church. In the same way, we can't know what tomorrow will bring, but we can wait on God as we continue to wander through the wilderness, as we continue our journey. Let's pray. Holy God, there are all kinds of obstacles on the horizon. We are aware of some of them, and some of them will come as a surprise. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness in the midst of them all. We pray these things in your name. Amen.